and welcome to The Fathers, a show about two different kinds of fathers. A married dad of five kids and a Catholic priest who are friends, talking about sports, beer, movies, and the everyday joys and challenges we share in common. So, Father Chip, welcome back.
It's great to be back, Dom. Always good to be back here with you in your house. And, you know, we don't have a fancy radio studio that we go to or anything, but I'll say this, your place is the next best thing. It's like a technological marvel in here.
Well, yes, this is my inner sanctum. My techno man cave.
The fortress of solitude, if you will, of Dom.
Bat cave of podcasting.
It's the bat cave of something, I can tell you that. I show up to your door today and you got like this fancy electronic entry thing now. It's like being in Star Trek over here.
It zaps your eye. No, it's a Yale, the Yale locks.
Yep.
Some sort of electronic lock. I forget what it's called exactly.
Right.
But it's brand new. I got a review unit, so I'm testing it out.
It's really cool.
Yeah. It's a keypad and stuff. And I even got my wife, Melanie, to use it, which is big.
Well, that's a miracle.
See, here's the thing. This is why I've wanted something like this. I cannot tell you how many times I've gotten that phone call. Dom.
Oh, boy.
I'm locked out of the house.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I had to tell my boss I got to head home. I think I might have done it at least once with you.
Oh, yeah. I remember it.
Since I've been in Charlestown, working in Charlestown. And then once before when she was pregnant with Sophie, the second. I mean, so this is she cannot get locked out. She's got her code. And even if the batteries are dead, this is actually what's cool about it. There's the contacts on the bottom. You can hold a 9-volt battery up against it.
Really?
And power it to get it open.
Wow.
Yeah. Got to have a 9-volt battery.
Maybe you should put one in her car.
I'm thinking of doing that.
Like a package of them or something.
And then swap them out every once in a while. Yeah. Because that's going to happen too.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
I'm locked out, and the batteries are dead. Although I'm gonna be pretty good about swapping the batteries on that thing. On a regular basis.
Does it tell you if it's low on battery?
Yeah, it has a thing. It hooks with my. It's like a Bluetooth with a phone, so I can look at my phone and see what the battery level is. So I'm gonna be really, checking it for the first month or two just to.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I got some of these things that we put in our house, and I put in the rectory. And it's not the lock, but it helps with the lighting. It's called SwitchMate.
Oh yeah.
And you put the these units over your switches, and then you have an app with it. It's all Bluetooth. Like I can't operate them from here; it's too far away.
Right.
But you can put timers on them, which I like because I've been able to put timers on some of the lights that we use, like in the hallway or in the outside back door, to come on when it gets dark and go off when it's light. So, hoping to save some, try and help with the electricity. Plus, in my room, I have a couple of the units too, for the bathroom. So, like, if in the middle of the night I have to get up and go to the bathroom, rather than stumble and look for the light switch, I just sit in my bed with my phone, hit the light on. The light's on. I can go over there now. It's pretty cool. I like them. It's not perfect and it's not the best solution to a smart house. But if you're living in an old house like I do and like you do, it's some of the easiest ways to do it.
That's been the big thing. Because last time I talked about how we've been, I've been replacing lights. And,
right.
Smart homing, all that stuff. But the problem has been, the kids want to hit the old light switch instead of either doing voice control or the special smart light switches that you put up on the wall next to it. So it's a training period. Whereas I know you can go out and you can buy replacement switches, but the idea of putting something you could just put on over the switch that's already there, that actually is attractive. I like that idea.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They magnetically stay right up there and and like I say, you Bluetooth them to your phone and you can control them from wherever you are in the house, typically.
If you could do it through the Amazon Echo or through the Apple HomeKit, that would be even better.
Yeah, maybe you can. I don't know. Yeah. The other thing I liked, you had a post about the Amazon Echo and how you could change it to computer.
Yeah, so Amazon now. So you've always had these wake words. You could address it by saying Alexa.
Right.
Or Echo. Or Amazon.
Right. Like,
and so, Amazon, do this, or Echo, do that. You would choose one of them. So they added one recently, computer, which, every
Star Trek person.
Yeah, over the age of about, you know, 35 or 40 knows that that's, you know, that's how you address the computer in Star Trek. And so, you know, all the geeks were out there, like, they were out changing it to
Yeah, if I had one, I'd change the computer.
Computer, and do that's the right. Scotty talking.
You got to do the Scotty accent. That's right.
Oh, a keyboard. How quaint.
How quaint.
The problem for me is I say the word computer all day long. Right. So this, it's just, it would be, you know, crazy.
Yeah, you'd be constantly having to shut it off. And yeah, that's no fun.
Yes. Well,
hopefully they'll come up with another word you like too.
Well, and someday maybe you can name it, you know, whatever you want.
And right, that'd be cool. Bob, turn on the lights.
Hey, Meathead. You do like Archie from right. All in the Family. Hey, Meathead.
That's right.
Oh,
anything.
Archie.
Yeah, it could be anything. Yeah. That would be fun. I mean, if the Doctor had a keyword for the TARDIS, that would be even cooler than you could, then it could be the TARDIS too, you know?
Yes. You could call it Sweetie. And then
yeah,
a bit,
you could. You could.
It feels awkward though.
It does, a little bit. I don't want to call the computer Sweetie. And I don't want to be in my house yelling out the word Sweetie when I live with another man, and right. that would probably not go over well. Sweetie.
Sweetie.
No,
Father Chip.
I don't think that's going to happen. So, yeah, no, that's not good. But, you know, hey, things happen. We're working on this stuff, and that's pretty cool. I mean, you got your stuff, I'm trying to do my stuff, and I'm really just trying to make the house a better house for the next person that takes over for me,
right.
Whenever that is. That's always been sort of what I tried to do as far as even the church buildings or the grounds or the rectory that I'm living in is how can I leave it better for the next guy?
Leave it better than you found it.
Yeah. And it's different. I mean, you own this house. This is your house. You right. probably won't be moving for a while. So you're doing it more or less to make it comfortable for you. And that's great. I mean, and I will derive some benefit from some of the things I get, but you know, over the course of time, someone else will probably get the lion's share of it.
Sure. Well, speaking of, you know, improving the house, I was telling you before, what I'm trying to do is keep the rain out of the inside of the house.
That's important.
Ever since we bought this house 8 years ago now, it's had a leak by the chimney. Right in the middle of the house is the chimney, and then the furnace comes down in the chimney. The fireplace is non-functional, thank God, because it's this weird 60s fireplace that's open on two sides, not like opposite sides, like on the angle, like it's just,
yeah, I can attest. It's a weird looking thing.
Like if I lit a fire in that thing, the house would burn down. Like the fire would end up in the living room.
It would, especially with the kids.
Yeah. So anyway, but I've got a leak, and it's always been in the ceiling by there. And I've done various things over the years, and so finally, I've got a roofer coming tomorrow. He's gonna the chimney. He basically said is Swiss cheese. There's no mortar between the bricks, and every time I have a northeaster, which in New England you get.
All the time.
The water comes right in there and comes straight down and then into the ceiling. So it's just a matter of time before that ceiling comes down. It's already cracked open.
Well, that's what that's what I was dealing with in the chapel at Blessed Sacrament.
Yes.
And we had to fix the tower. It was the same exact thing. The tower, bell tower, was, which is far larger than the chimney, was Swiss cheese, and it was letting the rain in, and literally chunks of the ceiling had fallen in the chapel. And this is before I even got there, and but I came in on the beginning of the fundraising to fix it, mm-hmm. which is always fun. Let me tell you, to be like the first thing you do is asking people, "Hey, my buddy, my friend that I just met, can you give me some money so I can fix something?" It's very difficult, and but we did it, and you know, the tower doesn't leak anymore, which we're very excited about. But it was the same thing every time it was windy and rainy. Yeah, that combo, that's what the combo was. It was, if it rained straight down and there was no wind, you could probably get away with it. But once that wind started battering the thing, it's all, and they're designed, at least ours was, your chimney might be different, but the bell tower was designed for the water to come in just a little bit and then expel itself.
Right.
And, you know, but the problem was over the course of the years that it had deteriorated so much that it was coming in. And it wasn't going out.
See, the lesson I take away from this is being a pastor is like being a dad who owns a house.
That's right.
Except much bigger.
it's a little bigger scale.
The scale is you got a bigger family, you got a bigger house.
Yes. It's a good takeaway.
Bigger problems.
Good takeaway, yes. But so, similar problems. Similar problems. It's interesting.
So similar to the whole discussion of the Echo and that sort of stuff, I also got a new gadget this past week.
Oh, look at this.
Just like Father Chip, I have my new Apple Watch.
He's got the new Apple Watch.
Series 1, not nice. Series 2.
No, I'm Series 1.
Well, are you? Well, no, Series 1 is the one that just came out. You got yours.
I got the first one.
We call it Series 0.
Oh, Series 0.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's snooty of the Apple guys to call it 0.
I'm Series 0.
Or First Edition.
First Edition, yes.
But so I got the Series 1 instead of the Series 2 because I am neither a swimmer, as you can see, or a runner. That's if you can see me, that's a self-evident fact.
I can see you, and I'm going to attest that you are not swimming or running.
So,
and neither am I.
Because the thing the Series 2 does is it has a built-in GPS, so you can go running without having to carry your phone.
Nice.
I'm not going anywhere without my phone. And it's waterproof and does this fun thing where the speaker is the only holes in it. And when you come out of the water, you spin the wheel, the crown, and it does this frequency of sound that shoots the water out of it.
No kidding.
It's from right here. It's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
Not $100 extra cool.
No,
but it's still kind of cool.
No, it's not $100 extra cool.
And I have to say, I've waited this long, almost 2 years, to get an Apple Watch. I mean, you'd think I would have been one of the first guys to get an.
Usually,
Apple
you are.
But I said I needed the use case. I needed to find something that I could.
And so, what are you using it for?
Everything. I mean, it's fast enough now. That was the big thing. I finally got it fast enough. But I use the heck out of this thing. I use the home kit so I can turn things on and off. So I got a watch face where I can do the home kit. I hit the button and then I can hit the button for prayer time. And it turns off certain lights. It turns off the lights in the office, the bedrooms, the kitchen, the dining room. It puts the living room lights dim. And then that was because I always light a candle for prayer time. Then that's the signal to the kids that it's time to pray. And end of prayer time, I hit bedtime. And that brings the living room lights back up and turns on the bedroom lights.
Oh.
And it's I can do that all from the watch.
Far out.
I mean, just even I got a rosary app I can do. I'm using the heck out of it.
Good.
I hear people say, "Oh, it's a novelty." And I'm just, I don't know. You know, I'm the type of guy who digs in and finds stuff. So,
well,
I'm
you'd find the uses for it that you would definitely. Yeah, yeah. That's your psyche.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what's happening.
That's what's happening with us.
So, what are we drinking, Father Jeff?
Well, I am drinking your beer again because I forgot to bring the beer I was said I would. It's a Chimay. Is that what?
Chimay.
Chimay. It's from where? Belgium.
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 It's Belgian monks.
Belgian monks.
Trappist.
And it is very good, very tasty.
It's a Chimay Reserve.
Right. Grand Reserve.
Grand Reserve.
Grand Reserve.
That's the good stuff.
It is. It really is good. It is. It's got a. It doesn't have that. Again, you know, like I say every week, it doesn't have that strong aftertaste, which I hate. And so it's. But it's full flavored. It's definitely full flavored, and it tastes like beer. It tastes like you think beer should.
Right. I've had it before, and it is. It's a great beer. It's considered one of the best beers in the world.
And I will say it's probably up there. Absolutely.
There's a couple others with German words that I cannot pronounce. That are Wisterlieferhoven something. Not it.
God bless you.
Gesundheit. Yeah. But it I've had that before and it's really good. So
no,
it
is excellent.
I'm drinking. Okay, this is a big bottle. So
it's a really big bottle.
I'm not going to drink it all here because I won't do anything else today. But it's from Single Cut Beersmiths, and it's called More Cowbell Chocolate Milk Stout. And I got to tell you, half the reason I got it was the More Cowbell.
Yeah.
Because the great Saturday Night Live skit.
Absolutely.
With the...
I got a fever, and the only cure is more cowbell.
Christopher Walken.
That is such a classic sketch.
It was a recording for Don't Fear the Reaper with the Blue Oyster Cult.
Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh my gosh, that was so funny.
It is funny.
The other half of the reason I got it was the chocolate milk stout, and I got to tell you, It there is a little bit of Tootsie Roll flavor in this.
Oh, interesting.
It's actually pretty good. I like it. It's not overpowering. It's not like super like sugary sweet like a novelty drink. It's good.
That's great. Interesting Blue Oyster Cult aside.
Yes.
When I was going to school in Ithaca College in Ithaca, New York, the Blue Oyster Cult, they grew up in Trumansburg, New York, which is the town over. And so they basically, when in the 80s, they had basically be kind of retired and they were in Trumansburg and they would play they would play unscheduled gigs all around the area. And it was kind of cool. You could, you know, they were obviously they're a real band. And so, but they wouldn't use the word, they wouldn't promote it as Blue Oyster Cult. They would promote it as Soft White Underbelly. And so it was really fun to see them. You could go and say, oh, Soft White Underbelly, it's Blue Oyster Cult. And you'd go and you'd like watch Blue Oyster Cult in a little bar. Yeah. It was awesome. And so I enjoyed that very much. I think they probably got a boost from that sketch.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine.
That renewed interest, I think, for a while anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, BOC was big in this area when I was a kid.
Yeah.
They used to do lots of like small shows, college shows.
Right.
In fact, I think they once did... They did like a dance at Zavarian once, like a concert at Zavarian.
Really?
Of course, you know, Zavarian Brothers is a small, private, Catholic, all-boys high school.
In Westwood.
In Westwood, Mass. Very chichi. Like, I mean, my nephews go there. I mean, so it's not like exclusive. I mean, if they let Bettinelli's in, they'll let anybody in. But but also like the Patriots, New England Patriots, some of the players send their kids there. It's a kind of a football powerhouse, that sort of thing. So... But it's a well known private school. But yeah, when I was in high school, I remember like hearing like, about the concerts there. So anyway, that's a bit of a tangent.
Well, there you go, a tangent on Blue Oyster Cult. Who would have guessed that?
And what's wrong with that? What's wrong?
What
with
is
that?
Wrong with that?
That's classic Boston sports talk radio.
There you go, a tangent.
So speaking of beer
and football,
and well, before we get to football,
all right, beer first.
This is a very important article that was in the very London Telegraph in November.
I respected.
A highly respected
highly
journal.
Respected journal.
That you should believe everything they write.
Every word they say.
Because this article says, the headline is, a beer a day helps prevent stroke and heart disease, new study suggests. I would like to change the headline to say mandates.
Mandates.
It requires.
Beer a day. You want to live? You want to live? You want to live, men?
Why aren't you drinking a beer
Why
right
aren't you
now?
Drinking a beer a day? At least.
So what it said was, a pint of beer a day could help reduce the risk of having a stroke or developing cardiovascular disease. A study of 80,000 adults found the natural decline in high-density lipoprotein, your HDL, or good cholesterol, was slowed by a moderate intake of alcohol. So, see, actually, that's the thing my doctor and I have talked about. I'll open the kimono a little bit and let you inside.
Oh boy,
my medical history. But one of the things my doctor and I talk about is I have really good cholesterol levels. Yeah. Like my LDL, which is bad cholesterol, is really low, but my HDL is also a little low.
Ah,
so you want your HDL to be high, right. Higher up. And so this is saying that a pint a day suggests that. A pint a day could raise your
HDL.
Good cholesterol.
That's great.
Yeah, I think that's...
It's good news for us.
Well,
HDL must be off the charts.
I'm getting great HDL. I'm getting great HDL.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm going to tell my wife. I'm going down to the bar, honey.
Got to pump up my HDL.
Where are you going? This is for my health.
It's health related.
Do you want me to be healthy? Do you want me to have a heart attack?
Exactly.
Oh, go.
You must go. Or she might say, no, have a heart attack.
So, of course, at the end, they say things like, the scientists said more studies were needed to determine whether the alcohol HDL association applied to non-Chinese populations.
Oh.
So, apparently...
So the Chinese can do it.
It was a study done in China.
Oh, perfect.
So we're not telling my wife this.
No.
But Chinese men should drink. At least we know Chinese men should drink.
Chinese men have a got a pass here.
Go drink a pint of beer.
This is where I wish I was a Chinese now.
Exactly. Well, I'm gonna skip over that part. I'm just going to assume.
Well, they can extrapolate it. Yeah.
So.
Let's just say it's for all men.
Let's say it's for all of us. So a pint a day. We're on the right track.
I think we're cruising.
So other. So what else is going on? The sports.
Sports, baby.
Sports, you know it's coming. Beep, 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 beep. The New England Patriots.
In the Super Bowl.
You knew it had to happen.
It was destiny.
It's because we started this podcast.
That's right.
And we started talking about
it's
the
up
Patriots.
To us.
You know, for those of you folks who are not football fans or were not New England Patriots fans, first, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I apologize.
But second, you bear with us. In about 2 weeks, you're not going to hear much
right,
about this.
Right, there'll be nothing to talk about in a couple of weeks. So.
Exactly. So we'll switch to NASCAR or something.
Will we?
Catches and pitchers report.
Pitches and catchers in like less than a month. Yep. Yes.
Okay. So anyway, but back to this. Let's go back to the AFC Championship game.
It was a great game.
And Father Chip, how was that game for you?
It was most excellent. It was a little chilly.
Now, were you watching the TV outdoors?
No, actually, Dom, I was at the game.
At the game.
Yes, I was.
Oh, it's nice being a priest.
Well, you know, I got to tell you this story. It's an interesting story. I had celebrated Mass, and I got a text. Actually, it was right before I celebrated the 9:30 Mass. I got a text from one of my priest friends, Father Matt Westcott, who's the pastor of St. Mary's in Foxborough,
which is
Massachusetts,
right next to the
which is where the stadium.
Stadium
is located. And he said, we had plans to go to his parents to have dinner, and his mom was specifically making chili, which we like. So anyway, he said, hey, the text said, hey, might have tickets to the game. Be flexible. To which I texted back, no problem.
Flexible. I'm an acrobat.
That's
today.
Right. I am Cirque du Soleil. Of priests.
I don't know, Father Matt. I'm looking forward to that chili.
Yeah. I really want to go. I want to see your mom and have the chili and everything. But anyway, so about an hour later, he texted back, got the tickets, we're going. And I said, so I texted back, you talked to your mom? And he said, oh yeah, she's all set. So at any rate, we went to the game, and turns out, from what I understand, I don't want to say his name because I don't know if I could get him in trouble, or I don't want to take any chances, but a former football player for the New England Patriots had given these tickets to a friend of his, and a friend had season tickets. So he didn't need these two extra tickets that he got for free. So he called Father Matt he didn't even call him. He saw him at their Mass. He saw them at Mass and talked to him and said, do you want him? Which set off the chain reaction of, yes, I want them. Hey, Mom, I'm not coming home.
Sort of Father Matt giggling like a little girl holding them up before Mass.
I'm going to the game.
Just, if you know Father Matt, you just picture that.
Yeah,
image.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not exactly what he would do. But at any rate, so we went, and oh my gosh. I mean, they weren't the greatest tickets in the world, but they were really good.
You're in the stadium.
You're in the stadium. And I got to tell you, Dom, there are things that go on in the stadium that you do not see or hear on TV. And I was fascinated by that. You know, like Chris Hogan made that great play, scored the touchdown, right? Well, what do? They start playing the theme from Hogan's Heroes, you know? And you don't get that on TV. Exactly. You know, things like that. Or John Bon Jovi was at the game.
Yes.
As was Donnie Wahlberg.
Oh, you missed them because you didn't see it. Before the game, they had a little video narration by Bon Jovi,
okay,
talking about Foxborough, the city of Foxborough.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually kind of cool.
That's interesting. Yeah, I did not see that because I was there.
Yes.
So hate to rub it in.
Yeah, thank you.
So anyway, during the game, at some point, it must have been in the third or early in the fourth, kind of the game felt like it was in hand at that point, and they started playing Living on a Prayer in the stadium.
Yeah.
And they flashed up John Bon Jovi live on the jumbo cams, right?
Up in the owner's suite.
Up in the owner's suite. And the whole crowd is singing the song. We're all singing the song. And he starts singing the song and shaking his fist. And then they would mute the music at certain points. And we would be singing. And then he'd bring the sound back up. And it was like one giant party, with John Bon Jovi and Donnie Wahlberg and everybody else. You can see them, obviously, they're in a nice, comfortable box, you know, and there we were. I was freezing. I'm literally freezing. I had three or four layers on, but I was still cold, mostly because I wanted to look cool. So I had three or four layers on, and then my Brady jersey over the layers. So the layers were thin. They weren't thick. Kind of Chip has to look cool more than he has to be warm.
Exactly.
So at any rate, it was fun. We had a real blast. And, you know, I just can't say enough for the events that they put on in there. They just know how to do everything right. And, I made a comment on Facebook or somewhere about that, about the guy who did the different sounds and stuff. And someone, of course, on Facebook who knows me, knows the guy. And was like,
Chip knows everybody.
That guy's awesome. He's really cool. You'd love him. I'm like, honest to Pete, everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Well, Father Chip, every time you go to a game at the Garden, whether it's Celtics or Bruins, I see pictures of you up in the announcer booth, the TV booth.
Oh yeah,
every time.
You know, it's just the Bruins. Actually, I'm friends with one of the announcers, Dale Arnold, and you know, I always go over to say hi, and he always brings me in whoever I have with me mm-hmm. in, and they take a picture, and we have a small chat. Well, just before, so I went to the, so I mean, I know everybody's going to be sitting there like, oh, priests, they don't do anything. I, on my day off, I went to a Bruins game. It was my day off. Yes. I just want to be clear about that. And that was, it happened to be the Tuesday after the AFC Championship game. Now, I hadn't planned on being at the AFC Championship game. So I had the, someone had given me, a parishioner had given me these tickets. So Father Matt and I were going to the Bruins game. And, we were lucky enough. One of my parishioners has a box at the garden for Bruins game. So we're in the box.
Wow.
And who comes by the box to say hi, but Terry O'Reilly. So, you know, blast from our childhood, you know,
yeah.
Hero from the childhood of the Bruins, Terry O'Reilly comes in and starts talking to everybody. And it was funny. He, you know, he kind of said hi to us. We were dressed down and everything. And one of the guys said, oh, by the way, Terry, those two guys, he's walking out the door. Those two guys over there are priests. He turns around and comes back and he starts talking to us. And it was unbelievable. He was, awesome. he was just one of the nicest guys you'd ever meet.
Yeah.
So we go down to see the broadcast crew. And, one of the guys is, his name is escaping me at this moment. Dale Arnold is there, Billy Jaffe, and Barry Peterson. So Barry Peterson's there, and he recognizes me now because I've been there so much. Barry says, hey, Father Chip, how's it going? I'm like, hey, Barry. So, you know how casual. I'm on a first name basis with Barry Peterson, whose claim to fame, by the way, was he was traded away for Cam Neely in one of the most lopsided trades in the history of the NHL. At any rate, so Barry, I said, Barry, you're not going to believe who I just saw. I saw Terry O'Reilly. He starts talking to me. Hey, how's Terry's health? You know, is he doing okay? And like I know Terry, you know, and like I'm best buddies with Terry. Meanwhile, the people in the broadcast booth are trying to usher me out because other people want to come in and take pictures. And Barry just wants me to stand there and talk to him about Terry O'Reilly. And I was like, this is surreal. This never happens to me. And so at any rate, it was a fun night. It was a fun couple of days.
That's cool.
I needed that Monday to recover.
Yes.
My legs were killing me, and it was just, we stood the whole time. Yeah. It was like,
and it's concrete.
So, it's concrete. Yeah. It's cold, and I needed Monday to recover. And by Tuesday I was fine. And I went to the Bruins game, and it was fun. And that was great. Cause you know, you're in the box, you can sit down and watch the game from anywhere. It's great.
Well, let me tell you about my going to the Patriots. The last time I went to a Patriots game, like during the season, I've never been to a playoff game, but in a regular season game, it was 2001. It was the eighth game of the season. It was the last, I think it was the eighth game. It was the last game the Patriots lost before going on their run to win the Super Bowl.
Clearly, you shouldn't go to any games.
And it was to the Rams.
Oh, wow. Check that out.
And I was in the end zone. In the old Foxborough
old
Stadium.
Old Foxborough Stadium, yeah.
So we had the posts right in front of us.
Nice.
So in order to watch the game, you're not going to see me, but I'm going to do this. You had to lean.
Right.
To the side.
I can attest to his leaning.
You got to lean to look up the hash mark to see what's happening.
Right.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It just being there.
Yeah.
So what happened? So
and the old stadium was brutal.
So my brother-in-law, Pete Campbell, he's an artist. He you know, as a sideline. He's really good painting and drawing, graphic artist. But he used to do face painting.
Ah.
And WEEI, the local sports radio station, they used to do this thing. They had like the tailgating tent or something across the street from the stadium at Robin Ford.
Right.
And so he called somebody in promotions over there and said, hey, you know, at the tailgating tent, they have food, they have entertainment, they have all kinds of stuff. You hang out with the
local celebs.
Yeah, all the celebrities from the network, from the radio shows.
The sports.
The sports shows.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, I'll come in and do face painting, if you want. And they said, well, we won't pay you. He's like, that's fine. You can get tips from people. So, and he's like, can I bring my assistant? And they said, sure. So I was his assistant.
There you go.
And so we went down. I didn't do any painting. I grabbed people and got them.
Hey,
in the seat.
Get your face painted.
So you go down and we go in there and we, you know, they paint the face. And then when the game starts, everybody leaves the tent and goes across the street. And then everybody who's been working in the tent sits down, watches the game on these big screen TVs. So I'm sitting there with Glenn Ordway and Freddie Smirlis and
that's
like
awesome.
All those guys. And we're watching the Patriots with them.
That's great.
I mean, it's like, you know, this was the you know, one of the great sports talk radio shows of its era.
The Big Show.
The Big Show. I mean, nationwide. And so you getting to watch the game with the guys that you listen to every day on sports radio.
That's awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's not as good as going into the game. The only thing is we'd always leave at halftime because we didn't want to get stuck in traffic.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd race to my brother's house, which is 20 minutes away. We'd watch the second half. But so that's my, not as cool, but that's my story of.
Well, no, it's all good. I mean, all these fun things happen and they happen for a reason. You know, it's an interesting fun fact. I hadn't been to a playoff game in exactly 20 years.
Wow.
20 years, almost to the day, was the last time I had been at a playoff game. So we're talking 1997. And who was the team they played?
The Green Bay Packers.
No.
No, the
Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's right.
So I had been at that game when they beat Pittsburgh, and then I was at this game when they beat Pittsburgh. And I thought to myself, wow, I should only go every 20 years when they play Pittsburgh.
You should go to the Pittsburgh AFC Championship games.
You know, and it was incredible. It was an incredible time, yeah. And I'm glad I got the opportunity. And, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, you got to grab on. Yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you, you know, it was pretty cool.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, the game itself was pretty awesome, obviously.
It was. They won, which was the best part.
They won. I wanted to highlight one play that, like, there was so many good plays, but one play was LeGarrette Blount, the running back for the New England Patriots. I mean, this guy was on fire. Like, we talk about, like, blunt force trauma. You know, that's sort of a Patriots thing. So he's making a run for the end zone, and he's carrying... It's like six or seven Steelers
on his back
to the 1 yard line. I mean, I kind of wish he got in, but he basically carried these guys on his back. I found someone had posted like the video. I'll put the link in the show notes of like a little Vine video of it.
Oh yeah, there it is.
Yeah, like so the run, and so he's like they're on the 20, barrels hits the first guy, and now he's got like boom boom boom, and this Patriots are in the back pushing, but it's like. He finally goes down. He carried them for like 10 yards.
That was great.
And then on the very next play, you'll see the link there. And he just basically waltzes in. I mean, he dives, but he's in.
He's in.
And then he does the LeBron James
celebration
at the end. But it was pretty awesome.
Oh yeah.
That was, I mean, just emblematic of the whole game. And then the other...
you got to laugh at their coach. I mean, it's just so funny that he can't seem to...
Tomlin.
He can't seem to figure out the Patriots.
No. I mean, there was a lot of talk. I mean, that the Steelers would put up a tough game and the Steelers...
Oh, yeah.
And I don't, you know, I never talked down an opponent beforehand, but, you know, this...
Right.
There was some question early, but they didn't take long before it was clear.
It was very clear.
That the Patriots going to dominate them. One other fun moment I wanted to highlight afterward was Martellus Bennett, the tight end, who just came to the Patriots this year, has never been to the Super Bowl in his previous career.
I don't know if he's been to the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know. And he celebrated like he'd never been before,
right.
Which is kind of funny. He danced with the cheerleaders. But there's this cute moment that Alatea found the photos and put it up on their site. I'll put a link in the show notes, too. Of him with his daughter, like in the midst of all this celebration, stops, has to tie her shoelaces on her sneaker. I mean, it's such a dad moment.
It is.
Like he's got to get down and tie his daughter Jet's shoes.
And everybody else is like, hey, man.
Celebrating, going crazy, confetti everywhere.
That's great.
So just those two great moments from
that game. You should definitely check those out on the show notes.
Yes, those are a lot of fun. So, and now up next, the Atlanta Falcons.
That's right, the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's.
I got to tell you, Greg Willits, you know, Greg Willits.
Yeah.
Greg and Jennifer, they're at gregandjennifer.com. They have a show, Adventures in Imperfect Living. They're friends.
Right.
They're from Atlanta.
Right.
He was talking smack about the Patriots.
Really?
He's calling me out.
He called you out
in his show this week. He called Dom, he's doing the old, the Patriots are cheaters. Nobody wants the Patriots to win.
Greg Willits, that's sad, man.
It's sad.
I'm calling you out. I'm calling Greg Willits out
next Monday.
You know,
we'll see.
That's right. You know, hey, we don't talk We do.
That's right.
You know,
do the job.
Patriots do the job. They finish it. One more game, baby. So, and we're gonna be celebrating again.
So can they beat the Falcons? I mean,
yes.
Do they match up well?
Well, they've got, it's interesting, their offenses are both pretty high powered. I mean, Matt Ryan's a great quarterback. There's no taking that away from him. And, you know, thank you. You're welcome from
Boston College to
Atlanta. And they have great receivers. They have a great, they got Julio Jones. They got Sanu is a great secondary receiver. They've got a good offense. Their defense, I'm not so sure. A little suspect, but they've been playing from so far ahead that it's hard to tell.
Right.
And, but the Pats, I mean, the offense is great. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, if you give Brady the ball and you give him some time, he'll score and he'll find a way. You take one option away, take the running game away, he'll throw it. If you take their, you know, passing game away, they'll run it. He'll figure out what to do.
They take Edelman away, he'll throw to Hogan.
Exactly.
Or Amendola.
Right.
Or Martellus Bennett.
Right.
I mean, it would be nice to have Gronk out there too.
It would be nice. We missed the Gronk.
Yes, but it's an embarrassment of riches.
It is. And I just think that, you know, there's too many people to cover for the defense, and I just think it's going to be an interesting game. I'm not going to say that, you know, it's impossible for Atlanta to win. But the fan in me says,
yes.
Yeah, we're going to take this.
So you can
Sorry, never, Greg.
Right. And you know, 2007, you know, you had these games where they turned on just one ridiculous play, bad luck, bad decision by one person or two people. I mean, these, when it's the Super Bowl, anything can happen.
Well, this is true. However, I think the other thing they have going for them is that there's a bunch of guys on this team that have been there before.
Yeah.
And know how to handle the distractions and everything else. These Atlanta Falcons have never been to the Super Bowl. They don't know what it's going to be crazy. Super Bowl week, which just started today, is insane.
It's distractions.
It's total distraction, nonstop distractions. And
it's unlike any other preparation.
It really is. And so the Patriots, the one thing the Patriots are good at is tuning that stuff out and doing their job. And
right.
I think they're gonna take it.
I think they practice that all year. I mean, that's their motto. The way that they deal with the press and with the pressure all year long is to tune it out.
Right. They do it the best of any football team I've ever seen do it. You know, other people talk about it, the Patriots do it, and it's great. I mean, this, you know, when your team's in the Super Bowl, everything's cool. And even if, you know, I mean, I would not like to lose. Trust me, I want to win. But, you know, getting there is important, and they got there, and they ran through the AFC playoffs. And now they got the Falcons, and we'll see. But I predict the Patriots win something like 38-31.
Wow, that's high scoring.
It is.
I feel like the Super Bowl tends to score lower. That's my feel. Or the Patriots Super Bowls. I'm thinking it's going to be more like 27-24.
We shall see.
It's going to be close. Those are our calls. Hopefully it's... And of course, Patriots. I mean,
of course.
I'm not going to pick the Falcons.
Why would you pick the Falcons?
Come on. It's just another... 2015, Seahawks. 2017, another bird.
Hey. We'll beat the birds.
Shoot the birds.
Shoot the birds down, baby. Take that, Greg Willits.
All right. So that's our sports segment. So moving to our main topic.
Main topic
of the week was this article, another Alitea article. Alitea is really good. They get a lot of good content there. Good people. But they had this article by David Mills. It says, "The Eucharist is shocking, so why is Mass dull?" Subtitled, "A Reason Not to Sing I, the Lord of Sea and Sky."
Which
you don't need any reason not to sing.
It's just so terrible.
So really what it comes back to is why is Mass boring?
It's a good question, because I don't find it boring. Of course, I'm like wrapped up in it.
Right.
And so I would love to know why people think it's boring.
Well, here's my perspective from the pew.
Yes.
For one thing, you don't see guys at Mass as much as you see women and kids.
True.
You know, except for maybe older guys.
Right.
But guys don't go. The fact is we are an entertainment culture.
Yep, that's true.
We are bombarded by entertainment that competes for our attention, and the Mass, as presently configured, is not designed to entertain. It's not supposed. It's not technically not supposed to entertain, but
it isn't, and we shouldn't look for that. I mean, yes, well, you know, it's not going to entertain you.
But the mask can be uplifting, inspiring, can do a lot of things that entertainment does for you.
Sure.
So, one of the things I think about is just we just don't do a very good job of appealing to people where they're at, in the sense of. Let's start with the music. That's always an easy place to start.
Sure is. Easy place to destroy someone's life, yeah.
Well,
it's just horrible. Most of it's horrible.
Most of the music is and it's there's a lot of really good music that uplifts and inspires that that people will sing.
True.
So I'm not saying we need drums and guitars. You know, I'm not necessarily a
Neither
drums
am
and
I.
Guitar sort of guy. But, you know, when we're singing I, the Lord of Sea and Sky for the 100th time, or some of this other stuff, the Lord of the Dance, or whatever.
I am the Lord of the Dance, I am. Yes, no, or, it's not good.
We gather to, and then the pacing is so slow, but yet you have something like,
yeah, we should probably not sing.
No.
I have a cold.
Holy, 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 holy.
Oh, yeah.
It's really drawn out. No, but like, what are the ones that are, like, people really will get together and sing? They usually tend to be the stuff that's older, that was translated from Latin.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it's the stuff. I look at the hymnal and I see anything pretty much written but from 1960 on, and I know it's going to be Drek.
Right.
I know there are people who like it, but let's face it, this is not the sort of stuff that really touches hearts, that really grabs people. I mean, it can touch hearts, but grabs people like me, like other guys who enjoy, you know, I enjoy all kinds of music, but it's not, what am I trying to say?
It's a good question.
So for me, the mass is, and what this article says is, the mass is the Eucharist. When we go to mass, we are standing present in the throne room of God.
Correct.
Like literally, the barriers between space and time are peeled away.
Correct.
And we are standing before God with every Christian who's ever lived and whoever will live as Jesus Christ presents his sacrifice to the Father. That's a fact. I mean, hey, it's like a giant. Every church is a giant TARDIS,
right?
We're time travelers when we go to mass.
Maybe we should promote it that way.
Well, maybe we should. I mean, appeal to. We need to.
You like Doctor Who? Come time travel with us.
Exactly. Or we could do "Come with me if you want to live eternally."
Oh God, I don't know.
Get to the choppers.
Get to the
chapel.
Get to the chapel. We must get you to the chapel, Sarakana.
So the I lost my train of thought, but that Arnold. But it's this amazing, awesome event, an experience, and it becomes mundane, and it appeals to. I hate to say, I mean, it often, whether it's homilies or the way that we sing or the. It doesn't appeal to a broad range of people who are interested in being inspired, impassioned. I mean, present company excluded. So many homilies I hear are kind of like, well, I'm just kind of telling you some stories. And
right.
It, like, when a priest gets fired up and impassioned, that fires me up. That makes me pay attention.
Right.
You know, there are plenty of priests I know who do a good job of that. You know, you do that. Father Matt Williams does that. You know, and every time a priest does it, that I hear, I always praise them for it because it's great to hear. If you're not, if the priest isn't fired up about this,
exactly.
Why should I care?
No, you're right. It's true. I mean, it is sort of a two-way street though, Dom, and I'll give you that sense that, you know, from my perspective, if the congregation is like just sitting there and they're not into anything, like they're not into the music, they're not into the readings, they're not into you, they're, you know, you feel it, you know, you feel it, and
right.
it becomes, you know, it can become a part of, part of your, it can derail you. It can really derail you. Like I've celebrated Mass where I walked into the church that day, getting ready, getting my vestments on, and I'm feeling good. And then, you know, you get out there and you're walking up the processing up the middle aisle and nobody's singing and nobody, you know, and all of a sudden you can feel the energy being sucked out of you, like, right. like by a vacuum cleaner. Like, it's just like all of a sudden the energy's going, and it's like, oh no, you know, and I feel it. And I know I shouldn't, but I do. I'm a human being. It's just the way I, you know, but I will say it also depends on what's going on too. Like, you know, recent events with immigration.
Right.
And then having the Beatitudes, be the gospel. I mean, it was amazing. And we spoke about that and I was pretty impassioned about it. You know, that, you know, every human being is important, you know, and if we're going to talk about if we're going to praise people for talking about, you know, being pro-life, we need to take it to the next level and say, okay, well, if we're pro-life, then that means we're pro-life about everyone's life, like the refugees who are trying to escape, you know, persecution and war and death. Mm-hmm. You know, I gotta say, excuse me, I probably got a lot impassioned about it, and you know, I don't know. I got some praise for it, but you know, I saw some people walking by, kind of give me the look, and I was like, okay, you know, I mean,
yep.
Hey, we can agree to disagree. I mean, I'm not saying, and I said this in my homily. I said, I'm not saying let the terrorists in, but you know, when you see 7 and 10 year old kids, right. You know, and you see their pictures on the news or in the newspaper, I mean, it should hit you in your heart.
Right. So I don't want to get too much into politics.
I don't either. I'm just saying.
But your point being that, you know, sometimes the circumstances can get the, you know, the priest fired up.
Right. Exactly. That's my point.
But the energy of the congregation, I get it. The energy of the congregation, so it's a two-way
street.
The energy of the congregation's got to feed the priest, and the priest's energy's got to feed the congregation a little bit.
Yep.
You know, one of the things that this article talks about is, you know, in a world where it's full of entertainment options, the church has to shout, has to get people's attention.
Yep.
And sometimes the way the church does that is with things like these guitar masses and rock music.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm not a fan personally.
No, and I'm not either. And I think the music itself is pretty, you know, banal.
Right.
To be kind.
Yes. But we've got to try different ways of getting people, shocking people into understanding this Eucharist that you're shuffling up here and kind of receiving with a dial tone on your face is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, Lord of the universe, second person of the Holy Trinity.
Right.
This is a big deal.
Right.
And maybe we get so blah about it it becomes routine and we forget to remind people.
Well, I think that's part of it too. You know, I see, you know, I distribute communion a lot. And so you see people's faces and a lot, and you say to yourself, do you know what you're doing? And then my real pet peeve, and I know this is going to sound real petty, but my real pet peeve is the people that don't say amen.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm not asking you to give me a dissertation up here. I'm just asking you to say amen.
This relationship only requires one thing of you.
All you have to do is say amen.
Yes.
See, which essentially means you assent, which you agree. When I say this is the body of Christ and you say amen, that means you believe that. Well, if you don't say anything, I don't know what to make of that. And it's a pet peeve of mine.
On the other hand, I want all priests and extraordinary ministers of the Eucharist to remember, wait till I say amen, because sometimes I'm in mid amen and the Eucharist is already halfway in my mouth.
True, it's different when you're receiving on the tongue and when you're, if you're receiving in the hand. I know.
Yeah.
I have a guy daily mass every day. He receives on the tongue, and as soon as I put it on his tongue, he says amen.
Interesting.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's, you know, it's a...
But he says it.
He says it.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that don't. And that's a frustrating thing for me, from my side.
Right.
Because I have in homilies many, many times, especially in homilies, said, remember, folks, what this is. You know, remember what you're doing here. Remember that this is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And remember that this is what we believe. And I always say, I've said before, if we believe this, which I do, and you do, and mm-hmm. others do, if we believe this, which we do, then the churches should be full.
Right.
It, regardless of whether there's guitars or, you know...
you should be crawling over broken glass to exactly. get to the front doors of the church.
Exactly.
This is a thing that guys need to hear, which is... We like to be challenged. Like, you know, if something's a competition, it rises up. I don't think there's enough of a challenge to men. Look, guys, get out of bed on Sunday morning. Get your family to Mass. Go with them to
That's
Mass.
That's a challenge.
It's not enough that your wife takes the kids.
Right.
I don't care if you're tired, if you've worked a lot. We all have our issues. You get your butt to church.
Right.
Get out of bed. Take your kids. You're the example. If your kids' relationship with God the Father will be intensely colored, intensely determined by their relationship with you in relation to faith. If they don't see you practicing your faith, they're not going to do it. No matter how often you take them to church, and frankly, putting your kids in a pew on Sundays and sending them to CCD is in making sure they get their sacraments. That's not enough.
That's the bottom baseline.
Right. You've got to be living it. You got to show it. I'm not saying you got to be, you know, hand waving and all that other no. ostentatious.
No.
But you've got to at least.
You've got to be there.
You got to be there. You got to show up. That's the bottom line. You got to show up.
You got to show up. And if you're there, it's great. Because let me tell you, it makes a difference.
A church that's full of families, you know, dads and moms. Now, got to make the disclaimer. There's obviously families where they don't have a dad.
Sure.
I understand that. I'm not judging anyone based on that. But I know families who there is a dad. He just chooses not to come. But a church that's full of dads there on Sunday morning with their families is a living, breathing parish.
Right.
That where something good is going on. And from there, so much good comes out of it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I'm glad that we, you know, I feel like I see a lot of fathers at Mass nowadays and at both my parishes, and I really appreciate them coming. And, you know, I take their good natured ribbing, and I take their, you know, if they have something to say, like about the homily or if they, you know, I'm okay with that, you know, challenge me too. I'm okay with that. You know, tell me, you know, I didn't really get what you were saying, or, yeah, that's easy for you to say or whatever. I mean,
yep.
I don't care. Let me know, because you're right. It could be easy for me to say. It could be a situation where I don't have kids and I don't have a wife and I don't have all those things that cause us to worry. And I have other concerns and other worries, but, you know, my worries are maybe different than yours. And that's okay, but I need to understand where you're coming from, you know. And if you're there and you can explain it to me, I can say, okay, well, that makes sense, you know. But if you tell me that, you know, well, we had to go to soccer practice, and after soccer practice, I didn't feel like going to Mass. Well, you know what? Too bad.
Right.
You know, your kid was there.
Right. Well, that's the other thing. The whole other issue is things like sports practices and games on Sunday mornings taking the place of Mass. I mean, that's you got to have your priorities straight. You know, the fact is your kid is not going to become a professional athlete by and large.
Mostly, yes.
99.9%. Like virtually everyone who's listening, the sound of our voices here. Your kid is not going to.
Your kid's not going to get a Division I scholarship either.
Right.
I'm just saying.
I mean, sports are good. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But you've got to have your priorities straight. You know what? Even if we're a professional athlete, that's what for 10, 15 years. Tom Brady, you're maybe 20 years.
Right.
What matters is
or
eternity.
Forever, Tom.
Exactly, forever. But what matters is eternity. You know,
right.
And your kid has to have that. Where's that relationship with God going to come from if they're not going to Mass with you as a kid? You know, if you can't go Sunday morning, go Saturday afternoon. Find a Mass.
That's why it's
Sunday
there.
Afternoon. Right. There's so many Masses available
around here. If you're in the Archdiocese of Boston or the Northeast in general, there's a lot of churches with a lot of Masses.
Right.
And priests are killing themselves to do those Masses. Because we expect that people will be there.
Right.
And, you know, I don't do four Masses on the weekend because it's good for me. You know, I'm not even supposed to do four Masses on the weekend. At most, I'm supposed to do two. And yet I still do four because there's a pastoral reason for it. At any rate, we do it all the time. And it's not, it's, you know, despite what it looks like, it is something that takes a lot out of you mentally.
Yep.
And so, you know, by the end of Sunday morning, I'm wiped. And I got to tell you, it's a good wiped. I feel good, but you know, you want to, then you have to rest, then you have to downtime it. And, but you know, we're there for you. I mean, the priests are there for you. And if you're not taking your sons and daughters to Mass, they're not going to see priests. They're not going to know what priests are. They're not going to know what priests do. I mean, the best thing you can do is let the kids get to know them, you know, and I understand in this day and age, maybe you want to get to know them in a controlled environment. That's fine with me. I have no problem with that. But I think at least at the Mass, they get to know us a little bit and, you know, they need to, I think that's important. They get to see our personalities. They get to see, you know, the jokes and the kidding we can do after Mass, and, you know, all those little things, but they're not going to get that if you're not there.
Right. Well, that's the other thing is, as a dad in the pew, it helps me to see other dads there, you know, to see other men making the effort going.
Oh, I'm sure so, it does. Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's, I mean, just guys get, you know, get to
Mass.
Get to Mass. So, and again, the link to that article will be in the show notes. So last bit for this week, our picks of the week. I've been on the first the last couple of times, Father Chip, why don't you,
okay. Well, go first. My pick is, I want people to take a look at Catholic TV and is specifically at a show called The Lens. Matt Weber's the host and he's a young guy. I call him the Catholic Andy Rooney. He's one of these guys. He's got a lot of opinions and he's not afraid to express it. He's on the show airs at 9 o'clock on Mondays. And then the first time, and then it's replayed over a course of time. You can catch it on the website and you can get it other places as well. I'm sure.
Catholic TV is a cable channel. It's available in a lot of, throughout New England, but other dioceses around the country.
And on the web, yep. And on Roku, yeah. And all these other things.
It's on Roku. It's on their website, CatholicTV.com. Right. So
it's a good show.
Pretty much everyone can watch it.
It's a good show. It's fun. It's humorous.
It's sort of in the style of late night TV.
Yeah, it is. It's too bad they don't do it every night. I wish they did. But that would mean that was his job. And I'm not sure that Harvard would like that if he was doing another full-time job. At any rate, he's a great guy. And so their producer asked me if I would do a segment. I don't know, it's going to air in February from what I understand, and they call it Fatherly Advice. And so I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. Fatherly Advice. And then we're doing the show, the father show. And so we're going to get a plug on the Lens, cool. Which is awesome. And, at any rate, I've done it. I feel like I'm in pretty good company. Bishop Coyne, from Vermont was the first person to do it. Bishop Reed did it. Of course, he's the face of Catholic TV. And then they asked me to do it. And,
I was the first non-bishop.
First non-bishop and but third person who hosts the show on the network. So they've been going through the network guys. But at any rate, please check out The Lens at some point in February. Check it out. You'll get to see me doing my little advice for my little segment on Fatherly Advice. I'm not going to tell you what I said because I want you to watch it. And
it's good.
It's a good show and it's fun. And that's my pick of the week. And if you're on Catholic TV's website and you want to happen to watch the TV show called Searchlight, which I co-host, that would be fine too. We would love for you to watch Searchlight and talk about movies with us and think about what movies mean to you and mean for your faith and can help you in your faith life. Check out Searchlight as well while you're on there.
Great. Thanks, Father Chip.
No problem.
So my pick of the week is a game, a video game I've been playing on the iPad called Star Wars Force Arena. It's kind of cool. So it's like these card-based games. Like you get this arena, and you got to protect your home base, and you start at one side, the other guy starts the other side, and then you've got a deck of, I think it's like 10 cards, 8 cards, but you only see 3 or 4 of them at a time, and they each have like an energy value, and your energy levels build over time. And so you have to be careful how you use the cards, and there's some strategy involved. But it's really cool because you can have like Luke Skywalker versus Darth Vader, or some of the newer characters, like Jyn Erso. And then you have like some of the characters will have associated secondary characters.
Yep.
So like you have Baze Malbus from Rogue One, and Chirrut Emwe together.
Wow.
And they'll be fighting like Boba Fett.
Nice.
You know, so it's a lot of fun. It's one of these freemium games where you play for free, and at some level they hope that you're going to buy,
right,
you know, things to make you so progress farther. But this is, so far, I've been able to play it for a long time without spending anything. So
that's great.
That's a good sign. It's fun. It's and you're playing against real people all around the world. It's not just playing against the computer.
I like that.
So Star Wars Force Arena, iPad game. Kids love it. My kids, I'll put it up on the Apple TV on the big screen. I'll do like the airplane mirroring, and so they'll sit on the couch and watch me, you know, playing and fighting against Palpatine or something.
Go, Daddy, go!
Or I'll play the bad guys and fight against, you know, Princess Leia.
Boo, Daddy! Lose! That's my imitation of Tom's children.
Yes, exactly. That sounds really uncannily accurate. So those are our picks of the week. Again, those will be in, links to those will be in the show notes along with everything else we've talked about today. You can find our show notes at thefathersshow.com. That's two S's, unlike the way I typed it here in my notes. It's I've been learning how to do this. Thefathersshow.com. So again, this has been The Father's Show. You can email us with your questions, your comments.
Tell us if we're doing something right,
yeah,
or wrong.
Tell us you hate the Patriots, Greg Willits, or anybody
Greg Willits.
Else, and we'll make fun of you, but we'll do it kindly. Okay. Especially once the Patriots win. We'd love to play
drive for five.
We'll play your feedback on air. We'll be able to you'll be able to get some name endorphins when you hear your voice.
Oh yeah.
Or you get your name mentioned. But so email us at feedback@thefathersshow.com. Find us on Twitter. The show is at The Father's Show. I'm at BetNet, Father Chip.
I'm at Chines, Chines, at Chines.
You can find the show on Facebook at facebook.com/thefathersshow. And if you like the show, please recommend us to your friends, share links to our website on your social media, write a review of the podcast on iTunes. Everything helps. If you don't like the show, don't say anything.
Please.
Send us an email that you don't like it, but don't tell anybody else you don't like it. And with that, thank you for listening.
God bless.
And we'll talk to you soon.